Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Pigskin Picks for 2022. I'm Matt Seidel, along with the rest of the Coach Speak podcast crew, Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Gentlemen, welcome to week 7 of Pigskin Picks. Tropes, it's good to see you. You know, it's good to see you on a football podcast. We can't get you to come to a basketball podcast and talk basketball, but you're bringing your expertise to the football. Good to see you.
I really enjoyed listening to the pod, driving to work Monday morning. You guys did a great job. And I'm thinking right now, the MHSA is probably pretty happy that I did not make it to the pod Sunday night, because I would have had a few things to say.
I don't know about you. I'm ordering a Roll Tribe t-shirt. I'm going to wear it around a little bit. So on t-shirt, do we get a technical foul? Forget it. We can wait that for our next basketball. Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to another week of me being bad at these picks. I'm getting worse as this goes on, I feel like.
You were dominating at one point, but you've hit a little streak. So, but we have 3 weeks left. We are 6 weeks in. This is week 7. For the second straight week, I took the individual week victory with going 8-2 last week. I am now 10 games above 500, 35-25 after a very slow start. I am tied with Derek for second place at 35-25. Derek went 5-5 last week. And Coach Trope, 6-4 a week ago, clinging to a 3-game lead over the both of us. He's 38-22. Pretty impressive. But we shall see. We got, like I said, we're going to have to take some chances here down the stretch since we have 3 weeks left. Here we go. Game number one, Bedford, 4-2 at Saline, 6-0. Big game in the Southeastern Conference Red Division standings. Derek, lead us off.
Yep, definitely a big game. I think the biggest thing going with this game is, you know, Saline just trying to make sure that they get to that game with Dexter next week, unblemished and the clear cut, it'll make it the clear cut conference championship game if they do that. Bedford last week actually had a tough game with Monroe. It took two late scores for them to get the victory. Trey Brueggemann had 20 carries for 215 yards and a touchdown. Tyler Borst also had 8 carries for 66 yards. They really used the ground game. The stats I saw said they only threw the ball 4 times in the game, so they really pounded the ball on the ground, which I know is kind of their MO. They've really struggled with the kind of the best teams on their schedule. They struggled with Dexter. They struggled with, although they had a decently close game with Hurons. I shouldn't say they struggled with them that much. It was a competitive game. Saline, on the other hand, rolled over Pioneer to stay undefeated. I know CJ Carr had 251 yards and 5 touchdowns on the game, 13 for 17. I think cool news or big news out of Saline this past week, I saw Roman Lario committed to Princeton on Twitter. So that's exciting. They got another, that'd be Division I FCS, I believe, football player. Obviously, he's been putting up great numbers at wideout all year, really over the past few years. In this game, Saline hosting, I expect this to be, you know, maybe a competitive game for a while, but I expect Saline to pull away in the end and get the victory to stay undefeated.
All right. Yeah. You know, I expected the Bedford game to be close last week, as predicted here on the pod. You know, rivalry game, Derek, you got to respect the rivalry. Come on, man. And I would say that the Bedford coaches have their Sunday night meeting. They're watching film. They're breaking down Saline. They have a good conversation. And I think what you're going to see this week from Bedford is you're going to see them playing a lot of guys, a lot of minutes or reps, I should say. And I think they'll empty the bench. You know, they're not going to not play to win, but they're not going to really show everything. And they're going to make sure everybody stays healthy. They have Cupcake City in week 8 and 9 in Skyline and Detroit Western. Bedford's win against Monroe essentially clinched a playoff spot for them. So I don't see them showing much or risking any injuries this week against Saline, because they're going to see Saline again in the regional, either in probably the first round game, or if they win their first round game, they would see him in a regional final. So I see Saline cruising this one. It means a lot to Saline. They want to stay undefeated. They want to win the league outright against Dexter in week 8. So I think this could turn into a rout, and I think the Bedford staff probably be okay with it.
I am totally on the opposite end. Bedford is going after this game. Why would they? That doesn't make any sense at all. Like, my goodness, do you have a competitive, now that you're not a head coach anymore, do you not have competitive juice? I mean, what is going on with you? But yeah, you know, their only losses, Bedford, are to Dexter and Huron, as Derek mentioned, and both were relatively competitive games. This is a good Bedford team. And yes, the rivalry game last week against a reeling Monroe team, not surprising that it was close. Saline, however, red hot. 187-13 is what they've outscored their last four opponents. That is ridiculous. CJ Carr is another level. He has got four receivers that are all college level players, almost unguardable. I think it's maybe the word that he actually used in a post game interview, at least referring to one of them. I don't think there's any chance of Saline looking past Bedford with Dexter up in week eight. And I think that's the only way Bedford would have a chance. So I am going to pick Saline in a methodical pull away victory.
I would like a counterpoint though, to your point. Saline, yes, has blown out their last four opponents. That's because, as previously discussed on the pod, outside of Saline and Dexter and Chelsea and Tecumseh, the SEC in football is putrid, and they played Lincoln, Monroe, Skyline, and Pioneer. I mean, so yes, Saline is blowing people out, but I think that the league schedule hurts them getting ready for the playoffs. We'll see if they make a deep run or not. As mentioned before, they got knocked out in the first round against Canton last year.
Okay, you used up some of your time already. Let's go to game two. Speaking of the SEC, we have Adrian 3-3 at Jackson 3-3. Coach Trope, the football expert, you are leading us off on this one.
Well, on this podcast, I am. Yeah. So, all right, Adrian and Jackson should be a good one in Jackson. Jackson last week had six different players score. Just in a crazy game with Tecumseh. They lost the game. They gave up 69 points to Tecumseh last week and lost 69-46. Kyson Cooper, Tavion Tanner, Siron Stamper, Julio Pizzano. What a great name. That's an all-Italian team name right there. He's got to be a good, good, probably a good Catholic boy there. And Mylon Weatherspoon, all right, all scored last week. Adrian will travel to Jackson. Both teams are 3-3. Both are in a must-win situation as far as the playoffs are concerned. Adrian plays a really good Sturgis team in week nine. A really good Sturgis team next week. And I worry that if they don't get this one, they don't make the playoffs. They finish with a really bad Owosso team, so they'll get that win. Jackson also is in a must-win situation because they're playing two more games. They probably won't win in Mason and Hazlitt. So a really tough road ahead for both. So I think both teams are going to put it all on the line. We've picked Jackson four times this year. I'm 1-3 in those games. Basically, I have no idea what I'm doing when I picked Jackson. So I am going with the Adrian Maples on the road. I think they had a good win against Pinckney last week. This is that time of year where I think the Maples, with their new coach and, a lot of new bodies being out there, they really make a push for the playoffs, and they make the playoffs with a win this week and a win against Owosso.
Off subject, Derek, was Owosso any good at football when Roddy Hagan was playing quarterback for him back in the day, your old college roommate? Just curious. I think
that was their only playoff appearance, or their first playoff appearance and playoff victory were with Robbie Gagan at quarterback. Right. And I don't know if they've been any good since.
Yeah, if we're going to rip on Owosso, let's talk about their glory days for a second and give Robbie a little shout out. So, hey, unique fact about these two teams, Adrian and Jackson, they both have three losses. And the combined record of their opponents is 16-2, both of them. I think that's kind of interesting. Adrian beat Pinckney, as mentioned last week, by a couple scores. Jackson gave up 69 to Tecumseh, but they're averaging 43 points per game the last 3 weeks. That's a lot. These Adrian kids, the Sean Parker, how about his numbers the other day against Pinckney? 17 of 20 through the air, 157 yards, two TDs. Thomas DeHarsh caught six of those passes in one of the TDs. Chase Henline, 130 yards rushing. So Adrian brings a little bit themselves. This is kind of a toss-up game in my mind, but because the guy ahead of me picked Adrian, I am going to go with the Jackson Vikings in this one. So, Derek, your chance.
Yeah, I think you guys have kind of alluded to this already, but it's really hard to pick this one when you look at scores alone. There's been so many similar scores against their common opponents. I agree with Josh on this. I kind of feel like I have not had a good read on Jackson all year long. They've just kind of, they've been up and down. They've surprised you at times. They've in both directions. They surprised you and played well. Last week, they clearly, the defense just didn't, didn't have any answer for Tecumseh. If you would, I think I'm going to go with Jackson. And really the reason being, if you would have asked me most of the way throughout the year, I kind of just felt like Jackson was a better team, although I'm a little less sure of that, you know, with some of these recent games, and they just seem to be really hit or miss, but I'm going to roll with the Vikings at home and kind of a toss up close game as you guys laid out.
Okay. Our third game from the IA conference, Western sitting 4-2 at Hastings 5-1, man. Western coming off a 34-0 thumping of Harper Creek. You know, their only losses this year, Western, are to Country Day and Lumen Christi, two very formidable opponents. Hastings has been dominating people since week two, and that was when they lost to Whitehall, an undefeated Whitehall team. They beat Marshall, by the way, 60-8 last week. Oh, boy. I'm not sure Hastings, though, attempted a pass in that game against Marshall, and I'm actually pretty sure. Hastings got some tough players. Robbie Slaughter, I had 12 carries for 203 yards and three TDs against Marshall. Larry Tunison, 12 carries for 66 yards. Their QB, Owen Carroll, a capable passer in some previous games, but really more of a runner. Western, we've talked about some of their guys. Ty Keeler continues to get it done both through the air and with his legs. Alex Trudell, a really tough running back. Noah Burdner is catching the ball and scoring points as a receiver. Man, this is I think it's going to be a really good game. The fact that it's at Hastings is the deciding factor for me. I am going to pick the Saxons in this one. Derek?
Yeah, definitely a good matchup. I think I look at this one, again, it's conference title ramifications, really, when it comes down to it, because with Hastings being undefeated in the league and then Lumen and Western each having lost a single league game, you know, this is Western's got a chance here to set up a potential three-way tie in the league. Meanwhile, Hastings, you know, they're pushing for that outright league title with this one. And like you mentioned, Hastings has really dominated the three recent games. I think these teams are really close on paper. Obviously that Western Lumen game was a tough one. And then the Lumen Hastings game was very close. I think all three of these teams are very close to each other. Just to be different here, I think I'll go with Western. I expect it to be a close game, a toss up. I think maybe they'll be a little bit more hungry. I mean, already having two losses, I think this one maybe is a little more important to them, or at least that's the reasoning I'm going to go with here as I take Western.
A Western win means a three-way tie for the I-8 and a tri-championship, and would give Lumen a shared title in their last year in the I-8. A Hastings win clinches the I-8 for Hastings. I think Hastings is a Ford Field type team in Division IV from when I was at the game when they played Lumen. As much as I would love to see Lumen get a share of the league title, I'd rather see Western lose. I'm going to also go with the Saxons.
Okay, we move on to game number four. To the Cascades Conference we go. Michigan Center, 2-4, at the undefeated Napoleon Pirates, 6-0. Derek, what do you think about Naptown in this one?
Yeah, definitely two kind of weird scores a week ago for these.
Are we allowed to use nicknames? I'm sorry. What do you think about Napoleon in this one? Go ahead.
Oh, man, you can't put that sucker on a
jersey. Well, I think you can use them on the pod. Just don't put it on the jersey, and then we'll be
okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Unless you want to give up those 2 points in your box.
What would the penalty be for football? Wait, what would the penalty be for football? Do you like if they put Naptown on the football jersey? I mean, does the coach not like you know what I mean? Like, where's the technical foul in football?
You know, it's just extremely unfair to the other team if they put a nickname on their jersey. I mean, it's just going to get the whole building's going to be riled up. It just wouldn't be fair, man. It's not competitive. Yeah, it's a competitive advantage. What can we say, you know? Anyways, both these teams had some weird games a week ago, at least from maybe what people expected. I was at the Napoleon game with Grass Lake. The defense was really, really sound for Napoleon all night. Grass Lake had one late score in the game. But for the most part, they were held in check. Meanwhile, Michigan Center got an upset over Manchester. I know we all picked Manchester in that game on the pod. And everyone, I think, was expecting Manchester to win. When you look at the stats from the game, Obviously, center put up a bunch of points. They scored 40 points in the game. Kyren Lane just went nuts. He had 142 yards, two touchdowns. And, you know, they passed the ball really well like they always do. They average over 200 yards a game passing, Michigan Center does, mostly with Kyren Lane and Lucas Howard as the primary wide receivers with Adrian Putnam throwing out there. I know we've mentioned all those guys previously. I think the big key to note in that Manchester win is they intercepted Manchester five times. Five interceptions. So I think that that really swung the game. You know, if you turn the ball over five times, it's going to play a big factor. And I think it probably was one of those situations where maybe Manchester gets down a little bit. They feel like they have to throw more and more, and it just kind of, it snowballed on them. With that in mind, I think obviously I'm leaning Napoleon here. I'm a little biased, as we all know, but I expect, you know, with their depth, they've had some guys really playing well that aren't necessarily in the spotlight. You know, Bart Laritz is really having a great year at running back. He is in the spotlight. He's got over 900 yards already running the ball, and he just really carries it, you know, over half the time, pretty much half their plays go to him. But some of the other guys I wanted to note this week, KK Fowler has really stepped up defensively. He's got multiple interceptions, making tackles on a regular basis. Sam Jennings has turned into a stud at the linebacker and safety spots, flying around. Joey Hamlin, I think if you look on Max Prep, says he's leading the team in tackles. He's an undersized linebacker who just competes every single play. And then Brendan Helfrich, has really been hitting people hard at the cornerback spot. So those are some guys I want to highlight, and I expect the Pirates to keep it going and set up the conference championship outright battle there against Addison.
Derek, you seem a little under the weather. Were you out partying a little bit at BCAM this weekend, or are you okay?
Dude, come on, man. I'm all good. You know me, I'm locked in at BCAM.
I know. I'm just joking. So Derek, is this year three for you at Napoleon? I get a little confused.
Yes, right? It is. Third year. Okay.
So let's keep this conversation relevant, and because I know nothing about Michigan Center football, because every time I pick them to win, they lose. Every time I pick them to lose, they win. So let's just talk about this. Here's the question. Michigan Center has beat Napoleon in every big game in football and basketball the last 2 years. Let's talk about that for a minute right there. So this is what I think. There is nothing better for a school, nothing better than a winning football team. It sets the tone for a year in every sport. And that's what Napoleon has going on right now. I am going with the Pirates to win this football game and set the tone for the basketball season. And it'll carry right on into basketball. And Napoleon is now going to start winning all the big games against Center in football and basketball.
Wow.
Bold. That sounds great to me.
Bold take. You know, Derek mentioned the good news. Michigan Center did pick off five passes last week against Manchester. The bad news is that Napoleon, despite having a Division I baseball player at quarterback, they don't throw the ball. So it really doesn't matter. They're going to run the ball down Michigan Center's throat unless they turn it over and have, you know, it's going to be a little cold on Friday, but I think it's going to be dry. I think Derek touched on it. Napoleon's depth is probably going to be the difference in this one. I, too, will go with the Pirates. Last time, I think I picked against them and they lost, so I can't do that again. But all right, moving to this is game number five. Oh, man, here we go. We've been waiting for this game for a while. Tecumseh, 6-0, having a dream season against Coach Trope's old school, the Chelsea Bulldogs, sitting 5-1. Tropes, lead us off.
All right. We are talking about homecoming in Chelsea this week. All right. So we have the homecoming game on Friday night. It's spirit day every day at school. There's all kinds of excitement in town. Tecumseh comes to town at 6-0. Last week, they were up 22-0 against Jackson and cruised to a 69-46 win. This is the best season Tecumseh's had since 2013. They've had three winning seasons since 2000. And the last time that they beat Chelsea was that same 2013 season. A.J. Bryan had five touchdowns last week, three rushing touchdowns, one receiving, and one kickoff return. He is the featured guy on a very explosive offense with tons of athletes who can make plays in space. As we've talked about throughout the year, their defense has improved it steadily. Now, last week, they did give up a lot of late scores, but again, the game was out of reach early. Chelsea is quietly putting together another great season. They're 5-1, and they're getting better every week. Now, they do finish the season in very tough fashion. They have Tecumseh, obviously, for homecoming and for a league title. Then they're going to go to Edwardsburg. Now, this isn't the same Edwardsburg that made many Final Four runs, but it's still a very good team, and it'll be a tough road trip next week. And then, obviously, they got the Dexter game to finish the year, which I mean, I think everybody's pretty excited about at this point. So, essentially, playoff football starts for Chelsea this week. They're playing three playoff teams, two which they could see again. They could see Tecumseh and Edwardsburg in the playoffs again in D4. I like the Dogs, and I like their defense to slow Tecumseh down enough and their offense to just score enough points to pull this out and deliver a homecoming win. I like Chelsea in this one. I like the tradition, the winning tradition. I think when things get tight, Tecumseh will panic a little bit in this one, and the Dogs will prevail.
Okay. Tecumseh, by the way, they scored fewer than 50 points only twice this season. And their season low is 35 against Pinckney. Think about that for a second. They're basketball teams that would that could compare to that. Coming off that big win over Jackson, the defense, that number giving up 46 is concerning a little bit if you're kind of pulling for Tecumseh in this one. Chelsea, in my opinion, probably has the best defense in the area. I don't think it's just look at area defenses, and they just seem to be getting better. They've held opponents under 10 points four times this year, along with a couple of shutouts. They rolled over Ypsilanti, but that wasn't really much to measure on. Tyson Hill, I mean, what nine carries for 98 yards and two TDs, I mean, in a half of play. I got a feeling he's going to be the difference in this other than the Chelsea defense. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I can see Tecumseh getting behind early and just being stage fright maybe, and then all of a sudden kind of waking up and making a run and coming up a little short. But I also could see, like Josh mentioned, them struggling down the stretch in a tie game in the fourth quarter. Man, the Chelsea kids have just been there too many times. Despite losing as many kids as they lost last year, they've been part of this program. So I'd hate to do it, but I'm going to have to pick Chelsea in this one.
This game's interesting when you consider, you know, I think it's strength on one side of the ball where you've got Tecumseh's really strong offense versus Chelsea's really strong defense, whereas it might be kind of the weakness of both teams is also matched up. I think Chelsea's offense is not as great as it's been at times. I know they've put up some numbers in recent weeks, but they've also had some games where they've really struggled to score, and Tecumseh's obviously had some games where they've really struggled to stop people. So it's going to make for an interesting setup. I think in that type of a matchup, I'd prefer to have the good defense, which is why I think Chelsea probably has a slight edge here. But since you guys both took Chelsea, I'm going to take my flyer here. Go Tecumseh.
Moving to game six. This is an interesting game. It's on here not because it's a great high-level football game, but it's intriguing in terms of the result. Coldwater sitting 1-5. This is from the I-8, of course, at Jackson Northwest, 3-3. Northwest is 3-3, but let's face it, they really do not have a signature win this year. Northwest lost to Lumen Christi 35-7 last week. Coldwater won its first game of the season last week, 42-27 over a less than stellar Penfield team. Coldwater kind of relies on a kid named Zach Coffing. I think he does a little bit through the air throwing the ball, but he's also a good runner. I think he's going to be a factor in this game. Northwest, they do some things well. At times, they're not very consistent. Isaiah Hawes, his name, every week comes up as one of their leaders, if not their leader. Another game, 126 yards rushing against a good Lumen Christi defense, and that was on 12 carries, so over 10 a carry. Northwest has a chance to go 5-4 this season, but they need to beat Coldwater, and then they need to beat Marshall in week 9. I am going to pick, again, because they are at home in this one, I'm going to pick Northwest. Derek?
Definitely an interesting matchup here. Like you said, I mean, I think, Northwest is, obviously struggled in these last few weeks. I think that game against Western, that was actually pretty close for a while there. It's tough. I mean, I don't think that Coldwater, if you look at their up until that Penfield game, they only scored in one game. Like they've been shut out so many times. It's really tough. I know Northwest runs the ball so well with Isaiah Hawes and stuff. I think I'm going to go with Northwest here to pick up another victory. And then, they're going to be trying. I think they're going to be heavy underdogs in their last two games, but they'll be attempting there to get even to five wins at that point, if they can get this one with Coldwater. So, but I'll take Northwest.
I like Northwest in this game, and I disagree with you. I'd like Northwest to win week 9 too and finish 5-4. I saw them in person last week. They're the real deal, and I think they're gonna beat Coldwater this week.
I actually thought that's the game that they need to win. I don't think they're gonna win week 8. They need to beat Coldwater and they need to beat Marshall. I think they got a chance against Marshall as well. So, okay, moving to game 7, our final high school game, and this is one that's one of the best in the state, and that's why it's on our docket this week. We've talked about one of the teams, and we actually had the other in one of our picks. Northville, 5-1, travels to Heartland, 4-2, in what we have referred to many times as big boy football. Derek, you're leading us off.
No doubt, it definitely is big boy football when you get out there in that area. Some interesting things to note here. One, when I was looking up some stuff in this, kind of bizarre. These teams have only played 4 times in their history, and Heartland has won all 4 of them. So they're not that far away from each other. So they obviously just were in different leagues or whatever until recently. So that's some odd history to note. Heartland at this point is 4-2. Both of their losses were extremely close games, low scoring games to Brighton and Novi. Northville has only the 1 loss to Brighton, and that game really was not close. We picked that one on the pod a few weeks back. Looking up some things from these two teams, Northville, that in their most recent victory over Salem, Luca Pryor was 7-11 for 142 yards and 2 touchdowns. Caleb Moore had 2 rushing touchdowns. And then defensively, they were led by Owen Ross, Hunter Laddick, and Michael Patsy. They all had a bunch of tackles on the night. They really kind of handled their business just like you'd expect in a game where they were the better team. Meanwhile, Heartland actually had a very big rivalry victory over Howell. In that game, I was able to watch some of the highlights that they had online. Man, they have some impressive dudes in those highlights. They got some big athletic wide receivers. The guy that really stands out when you watch it is Jackson Wilson. Looks like he's got to be a tight end. He's a big dude, but he had a long catch and run on a pass, and he's just tough to bring down. Kind of looks similarly built to like Brennan Parachek. He also had a fumble return for a touchdown on the defensive end. One of his teammates got in and knocked the ball loose on the sack, and he picked it up and rumbled all the way in for a touchdown. They have a junior quarterback, James Butzier. I think I'm pronouncing that right, but I might be a little off on it. He's impressive on the highlights. He can move around a little bit, hit guys on the run. He can run himself at times. And then I believe their top guy really is the Joey Mattered. I believe he's their running back, does a lot of the returning duties as well. He had an interception return for a touchdown in the game against Howell as well. So they really used 2 defensive touchdowns to carry themselves to victory in that game. So with all that being said, this should be a very competitive game. I am going to go with Heartland for 2 reasons. 1, the fact that Northville's never beaten them. And 2, they were much more competitive in their game against Brighton.
All right. I just have 3 very quick things. 1, your research was outstanding. And I truly mean that. Minus 1 thing. Northville lost on a blocked field goal to Brighton. It was extremely close game, actually, just like the Heartland game. That being said, my 3rd and last thing, I am also going to pick Heartland because they're at home and the cowbells will be going in the bleachers and they'll be going crazy. And the country club kids from Northville won't know what hit them. And I like the kids from Heartland to win this one.
I think I got my Brighton games mixed up. They beat, we picked their game against Novi, right? And they beat Novi bad. That's what I got mixed up. So my fault.
Nice research check, though. I was actually calling up on my phone as you were talking, Josh, because I thought in my notes it was 17-14. Northville's only loss is to Brighton. And again, that was, you got the Novi one mixed up. That was 17-14. Their common opponents are really interesting. They both lost to Brighton in close games. Howell is a common opponent, too. And Howell's only losses this year are to Heartland and Northville, and it's almost by the exact same score. So it's a toss up on paper. I think Derek's point of that Heartland is kind of own Northville. Maybe that's a schematic thing. Maybe it's just they just had better talent. I'm going to, when in doubt in games like this, I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to also pick Heartland in this one to get to 5-2 and even their record with Northville, at least on the season. So, okay, that gets us through the high school games. Let's move on to college. I know, Josh, this is your favorite time. We get to pick the Michigan and Michigan State games. And you get to start us off. Our first game is Ohio State University at Michigan State University in East Lansing, a beautiful thing. Michigan State is a 25.5-point underdog the last time I checked. What are your thoughts?
4 o'clock. Well, my thoughts are this. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff. My guess is most of the Michigan State students will be passed out by then. Most will not attend the game because there's nothing to watch. They'll probably crawl back into their dorm rooms in fraternity and sorority houses and take a nap from about 4 to 6:37, grab something to eat, shower up, and head back out for round two and wreak havoc on the streets of East Lansing till about 2 a.m. That said, Ohio State lay the points, Buckeyes by 40.
You and I have been on the same page a few times today. We are definitely on the same page with this one. And I take great satisfaction in saying that I think that they will be ahead by 25.5 points by halftime, let alone the final score. Now, whether they keep their foot on the pedal or not is another story. I don't think MSU might be motivated for this one. They might figure like they're all alone in the world and they're going to have to battle with each other. I just don't think they have enough hosses this year. They don't look like a very talented team. Ohio State in a rout. Derek?
I have to go with you guys on this one. It's just it's the snowball effect is really going right now for MSU. Maybe I tell you what, I still think that it's going to be a scary game when they play Michigan, because they always get up for that Michigan game and they'll be coming out of their bye week for that. But with this one, it's spiraling. And meanwhile, Ohio State is looking really good, especially on the offensive side. And they have everything that you need to expose where MSU's weak in that secondary. So Ohio State big.
Okay, our next college game, we have the Michigan Wolverines undefeated at Indiana. Indiana is a 22-point underdog. This one scares me a little bit, just because Michigan just kind of, I don't know, they don't have their foot on the pedal all the time. They're playing very smart football. They don't turn the ball over a lot. They're very sound. They're making plays on both sides when they need to. That was evident in the Iowa game. Anybody that wasn't impressed with their performance against Iowa really doesn't understand what's going on. I think they got a little conservative because of field position in the second half, and Iowa kind of made it interesting. But I see Michigan. I just think they got too much talent for Indiana. I don't think Indiana's going to be able to stop them. And Michigan's going to kind of move up and down the field methodically. They're getting more guys involved. Getting Edwards back was big. JJ looks like a seasoned quarterback, even though he still does a couple of odd things, but what college quarterback doesn't? I've got Michigan slightly covering in this game over Indiana. Derek?
Yeah, I think, you have to be conservative when you play at Iowa. You know that your defense can hold them down. And really they're good at taking advantage of your mistakes. You got to make sure you don't make any of those mistakes. So I think that kind of plays into the way Michigan played that game. I don't know why. I have a weird feeling that this could be the game that they really kind of hit some big plays on offense. I don't know what's leading me to believe that. I just kind of feel like, all right, JJ's kind of settled in now. He's played a couple Big Ten games. He's already played on the road. I think Indiana's pretty bad. I watched him play some in their overtime game against, I think it was like Western Kentucky, against a smaller school. And I know that they did not look super impressive in that game. I think the defense should still be able to hold him in check. And I think maybe some of these long passes he's just missed on, I think he hits a couple of those and they cover this game. And they kind of, take another step on the offensive side heading into that Penn State game.
I've always loved Coach Harbaugh. I love his quirkiness, love his great coaching. I've always struggled, rooting for Michigan football, but that's more of a childhood thing. But I love Harbaugh. I love to see them having the success they're having. I love that he's actually wearing navy clothes instead of black this year. At least figured out the school colors and stuff. I want to mention something maybe for the listeners to enlighten them about things. One, I've attended a game at Indiana, Michigan-Indiana game there. I tailgated on the golf course with the great Seth Dotson, who I don't know how many listeners know who he is, but he's the best park and rec director in Michigan, and he resides in Ann Arbor. And then if you are a TikTok person, you definitely need to follow Grace Harbaugh. She is hilarious. She does many TikToks at her father's expense, and they are absolutely just must follow, must TikTok see, or I don't know the right terminology there, but Grace is a must follow. Seth's a great guy. I'm happy for Coach Harbaugh, and I'm proud of whoever got him to figure out what the difference between blue and black this year, which is nice. Although the side stripe shirt is as good as Jim looks with the weight loss, it still not good for 50 plus year old men to be wearing. Just saying, stick with the solids, Jim. I'm going Michigan big. Michigan really big. Michigan to cover.
Okay, our final game is we go to the NFL. We have the Detroit Lions and one of the most interesting defenses in the history of NFL football traveling to New England. The Patriots are a 3-point favorite. Derek, lead us off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I should probably know this, but I think is it we're expecting Bailey Zappe to be the starting quarterback for New England, right? Yeah, okay.
Man, hey, he looked good in the second half of the Green Bay game. I'm just going to say
that. Right. And everybody, Geno Smith looked like Patrick Mahomes against the Lions last week. So everybody looks good. I mean, hey, they didn't even make them punt once in that last game. I didn't get to watch a lot of that game with the Lions, which was probably good for me, considering the way it went. Their offense is still looking good. I don't know. I expect another high scoring game if the Lions are going to have a chance, because I don't think the defense is going to be able to hold them down. I mean, they got to be better than they were last week, but I don't know. I feel like I'm crazy for doing this, but I'm going to go with the Lions.
What was the spread again?
3 points. The Patriots are 3-point favorites.
This is just like one of those games where like the Lions play the game of their life. You know what I mean? Like Aaron Glenn was a former Patriot. He's the defensive coordinator. You know, they just, Patriots. I'm going with the Patriots. They're not putting money on it, but I'm picking them in the pod. Go with the Patriots.
Matt Patricia, isn't he with the Patriots too? Yeah. So there are a lot of cute little angles here with this one, but
he's their offensive coordinator. They made him the offensive coordinator, which is weird.
Well, he may carve himself a nice little niche this week.
Does he have a big pencil in his ear still?
I don't know. The Lions have been exciting this year, I will say that. And this is one that I was not having much luck with the Lions. I did pick them to lose to Seattle, and I called that one correctly. I didn't know it was going to be like quite like that. I'm just, again, they're in New England. The Lions are reeling defensively. I don't know if they have any answers. I just think their personnel is so bad defensively, it looks, that it might not be any answers unless New England helps them. I see New England winning this game. Now, whether the Lions can keep it close or not is another story, but I am going to pick the Patriots in this one. So, all right. Well, hey, that does it for Week 7. So we've got a few differences. We'll see if we can make up any ground or if Trope can pull away. He may be sitting pretty. You may have just be able to mail in Week 9. You tend to mail it in occasionally on the pod, so that might be a time to do it. So what were you going to say?
I was going to say, if I continue to build this big of a lead, I may bring a guest on with me in Week 9 and let them pick my games just to make it, you know, exciting.
Actually, if it's out of hand by Week 9, maybe we all should bring on it. Maybe we should bring on our significant others. You know, as much time as we spend away from them, maybe we should bring them on and let them have a say. And
I'm sure that's exactly what they want to do, spend more time with us, but on a Zoom. Yeah.
Sure, that's what the listeners want too. It could be interesting, their rationale for picking what they pick. So anyway, all right. Well, that does it for Week 7. We'll see everybody again next week.